Now, a few notes for married men. The way not to have an affair start, in my opinion, if you're a married man, is to run to the girl and say, "Honey, my wife's taking the kids to the country. The coast is clear for you and me." The fact that this is a convenient time for you has absolutely nothing to do with the situation. It certainly isn't any aphrodisiac. It might even be more flattering to the girl if your wife were in town. Another thought, on the first date, don't suggest that obscure little lobster house 50 miles up the coast, which you think is delightfully quaint. She knows what you're doing. You're hiding her out. In the beginning, at least, be sure you go first class. All right, let's say the affair is on. How do you keep her happy? Never assume the physical relationship is the all-out rewarding thing for her that it is for you. It just isn't. Even if she does enjoy your beautiful bronzed body, and you know she does, this is America. She's a nice girl. She's the product of what her mother and her grandmother told her, and they probably told her never to do what she's doing with you. Also, her body needs to have a baby. A lot of men offer her sex, not your superior brand, of course, but what she'd really like to hear from somebody is an offer of marriage. Presents take the pressure off, so do give them. Money is a perfectly wonderful present. You know, it isn't half as insulting as you'd like to think. A nice share of General Motors or a U.S. E-bond tucked in with a bottle of Arpège really are very hard to take offense at. Don't expect your girl to share your wish not to be seen or to keep the lipstick off your collar. That's your responsibility. Maybe it sounds perverse, but a girl may actually take a certain offbeat pride in being seen with somebody else's attractive husband. If you do run into friends of the family, don't try to burrow your way to China. Just smile and be gracious and introduce everybody all around if you're trapped. No explanations and no apologies. Never drink up her booze without replacing it. You really ought to bring a lot more than you consume. Never, never, never let her spend her birthday alone, even if you have to lie your way into purgatory to get out of the house. Never lie to her about little things. The big lie you're living, that someday the two of you are going to be married, is going to be hard enough to explain when the time comes. Be sure she can trust you in smaller matters. Treat your girl with great dignity, like a princess. Never, never cheat on her with anyone but your wife.
Hello, you got the Madge here, the lesbian with food allergies, and I'm just going to go straight into my phone call. It's overseas to the Europe's. Give me one sec, cunt. Oops, wrong button. Hello? No, not yet. Hold on. The good news is you already know it's not Cheryl since it's across the seas. And Cheryl, don't be, doing all that. What's going on here? Okay, I'm doing it. Here we go. Plump, plumpity, plumpity, plump.
Hello, hello.
Hi there, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm struggling to remain awake and alert, but I'm good otherwise.
Have yourself a grilled cheese. That's what I'm doing. But for me, it's 6 hours earlier, so it's easier.
They use that little that machine that crushes it.
I don't believe one needs a machine just for the purpose of making grilled cheese. I use a pan. You know how in Amsterdam they used to call it this. Didn't they call it a toasty?
Yeah, toasty. Yeah, you made a toasty.
Well, I make it in a pan, and I call it a pansy.
I remember that we had one of those toasty machines when I worked at the University of Amsterdam, and someone would always make it just the wrong way so that the cheese would burn. And, of course, you know, the kitchen is just this little closet, of course, in these offices. Mm-hmm. So the whole office and then down the hall would smell like, I don't know, burning shoes.
Why would it smell like burning shoes? Were you burning plastic?
Because, you know, Dutch people have the burning shoes cheese.
Oh. No.
They have cheese that tastes like shoes, and then they burn it. Smells like shoes to me.
I went to the farmer's market here for the first time, and it was like a ripoff. My friends have been telling me, go to the farmer's market, it's so much cheaper. Well, It's better, yes, and it's local, which is good, but it ain't cheaper. But it was fun anyway.
I'm in Portugal, Madge. I'm in Portugal.
Oh, yeah, visiting family.
I am. I'm with my parents. I'm 1 hour north of Lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Did you get out?
I didn't even get to this time, although I just came from there. I've been there for the last 2 days. I've been stranded at the airport, and it wasn't even for me. I have seen privatization at its worst. Privatization is at its worst.
That's pretty hard to do.
It's incredible. You ever notice when you go to the airport, and you spend time at airports, and they've got, you know, all the little baggage handling cars have a certain label, right? They're all run by some company. In Lesbian at the airport, there's actually two companies now that run luggage, which I don't understand. You know, some of them are for certain airlines. I mean, one of them is for some airlines, and the other is for the other airlines. And they both suck, but they have completely different mechanisms, different machines. It's a miracle that somehow they manage to share the luggage belts. You know, they just one is for one, and the other is for the other. Anyway, so I've been dealing with this one of these luggage companies for the last 2 days, trying to get my young cousins, who are like 9 and 12 years old, onto a plane back to their relatives in Brussels. And it's taken 2 days to get them on a plane because there was a big strike in Brussels. Mm-hmm. And then the airline over here doesn't know what to do. They don't have a contingency plan. They don't have to. They're the airline. So there's been a lot of yelling, and I've been spending a lot of time studying people at the airport. You know how you study the homosexuals?
Did you go to the bathroom, the women's room?
I went to the handicapped bathroom because the men's room was a disaster, which is sort of like an in-between. It's like a pat bathroom.
Yeah. Did you read about in Thailand how they have – well, I mean, you were there. Maybe you saw them, but they have these the tranny bathrooms there. Did you know about this?
Does that mean the toilet looks different?
No. Well, it means the symbol for the toilet looks different. It's half man, half woman, like the two symbols spliced together. And they even have them in high schools.
I didn't see any. I should have gone to a tranny show, right?
I think it's brand new. I think it's brand new, but it's sad when you look in America and people get killed, which is what happened last week, from what I understand, for being a transsexual in high school. And then, you know, in Thailand, you have a bathroom for it, you know? I wanted to, first of all, I need to explain who you are to my audience, because they're morons. Constantly in flux as a new batch gets pissed off and accuses me of censorship, and the next batch of complete and utter morons comes shipped in like the concentration camps on their way to Auschwitz.
You're buying listeners from China.
Yeah. But I have Bicycle Mark, who is a citizen reporter, and his interface thing is called internet, rather, is called citizenreporter.org. You need a Cheryl promo for your, since you're a .org.
I'm sure all I have to do is ask and I'll get one.
I'm sure you'd get a lot more than that. So Mark go to his site and you can watch and listen to him report on all kinds of underreported news. I wanted to talk to you. Sorry.
That's a good start. It's a good start.
Mm-hmm. well, I mean, I saw you on, so I talked to you. I can't say there was a particular reason that I called other than you were there. But I was watching C-SPAN because you know, MacDuck Man, our friend, his wife, Marjorie Meerman, I don't know if you saw the email, but she's...
What's so
fucking funny?
What's Marjorie.
What is it?
Mariah. Yeah, Marjorie's good.
Hello, close enough in America. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What is it?
Mariah.
Okay.
Mariah, like the carry.
Yeah, I'll have to tag this with United Vlogger so he actually listens. But so she sent an email saying, you know, to watch this show, that wonderful show, the documentary that she was working on about the Chinese kids all the year. Yeah. And so she sent an email saying it's on PBS tonight. So I actually plugged in my TiVo. And it's been literally unplugged all summer because it makes too much noise and there's nothing on anyway. And I plugged it in, and then so it automatically went back. Now, of course, well, anyway, turns out the show isn't airing until 3 a.m. in the Chicago market, but that's another story. I'll still tape it. But so as a result of this, my TiVo went into its normal routine of taping all the C-SPAN stuff. And it both two things that came on right before we I called you were both very interesting. One of them was a speech of Robert Mukasey made in front of the American Bar Association. And the other one is the South Dakota, North Dakota Planned Parenthood Organization. Very interesting things going on. What Mukasey basically did is he said, yes, we have reports that there were improprieties and hirings were made for political reasons in the Justice Department, and there were civil laws violated. He specifically says that. And then a few breaths later, he says, but we will not prosecute it. And he said before that, he said, oh, you know, and we think it's really important for the Justice Department to apply justice within our own department, you think? But eventually he said, we can't. Sorry, we're not going to prosecute these people. Sorry. No, even if they broke laws. He said, because some laws, even if things are illegal, some laws aren't enforceable. And he said, and if we don't prosecute cases if there isn't enough evidence. So it's that same like anti-impeachment argument being recycled there. So, and you know what he said too, which is interesting. He said, and for full disclosure to this room, I will tell you that when I was made judge of the such and such circuit court of appeals in some state, I was given political favor and therefore did not have to take the exam to be a judge. And he admitted that. So he's completely unqualified. He should just recuse himself from the whole fucking position. He had a red bulbous nose, looked like he was drunk off his ass. And nobody's going to be prosecuted. Big surprise. And the other thing about the South Dakota thing is that they're putting a referendum. Yeah, it's terrible. It's called, they talk funny. But they're putting a referendum on the ballot in November, asking if abortion should be illegal. Now, it's already...
Right, it's already pretty bad.
It's already, yeah, they can't... There's only one abortion clinic in South Dakota. And to keep it open, the doctors have to be flown in from Minnesota because they're unable to get doctors for several reasons. They can't get doctors from South Dakota to perform abortions. So they already have... So abortion is basically, effectively illegal in South Dakota as it is. So there's probably less than a dozen abortions that get performed a week. It's ridiculous. So, and if the people need abortions, they're going to go out of state anyway. So what the point that these people made is this is clearly a attempt to, they want to get it on the ballot so that they can put Roe v. Wade, they want to, you know, so they can challenge Roe v. Wade at the Supreme Court. That's what this is about.
So. Yeah, you remember, well, you may not remember, but I did that podcast with my friend who works at the abortion clinic in Philadelphia. It was really one of my favorite shows I ever did.
Yeah, I do remember that.
She was saying about out-of-state people coming and how more and more will be coming, of course.
And what state was that? Pennsylvania?
That's Pennsylvania, yeah. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia.
It's terrible. Well, in Illinois, we're basically the whole abortion provider for the Midwest because we're surrounded by a bunch of douches.
It's your job to carry the water.
Well, Cheryl, yeah, she's good for me. I mean, she does a lot of help. She's the one that actually performing the abortions mostly, but they're on herself.
Right. She's like the poster child of like, here's what happens, you know, America when you elect people who make abortion impossible, then you could just get a bunch of Cheryls operating out of their closet.
Or if you don't elect people at all.
Mm. You know, so this is all causing more Cheryl, which should scare
and it's all
everybody.
Vera's fault for not voting. I want to also say this. I forgot what I was going to say. I don't fucking remember.
Oh, and the Mukasey. I mean, we can't expect, or I don't expect, because I'm a cynic now. Mm-hmm. I don't expect any sort of prosecution of these people in government. That includes, you know, cabinet members, which of course you could prosecute. Many fine lawyers and federal judges have said it, but you can't expect it until at least until they're out of office. Maybe we can have like a, you know, they just a slight tangent, but they just convicted or found one of the Pol Pot gang people guilty for torture, for running that torture prison that I visited in Cambodia.
Like 3,000 years after it happened, isn't it? Like
exactly. He probably has 1 year to live. Oh. Yeah, this was like 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
So it's a little late, but they just convicted him or acquitted him, whatever the word is. So that, you know, maybe we'll get something like that with the whole Bush administration, Mukasey included, you know, Alberto Gonzalez. But we're going to have to wait until most of us have forgotten. And anyway, people forget in like 5 minutes. So
yeah, a friend of mine wrote a letter to his congressman, which is Rahm Emanuel here in Chicago. He's not my congressman. I have Jen Schakowsky, who's, I like her a lot. But he wrote asking for the impeachment of Bush. And let me see if I can find the response. It was such just lameness. And I mean, it's nothing we haven't heard before, you know, basically, well, we're afraid of what Fox News says.
You know, off the table.
It's off the table. But my friend Cindy Sheehan successfully got on the ballot against Douche Face.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Was it Feingold?
Feinstein. I mean, they had Speaker. What's her name? The Speaker. Pelosi.
Right, Nancy Pelosi.
Pelosi. Anyway, I can't find it. So, and I was talking to somebody today who works in a restaurant with a bunch of young 20-something waiters, and he said, nobody there cares about politics. They don't vote. They don't give a shit at all. And these two friends of mine I was with, they're both like probably 50 or 50 plus, and they both are just like, oh, Obama will lose because the country's racist. And I just can't believe that. I think I just can't believe that.
You could believe the country's racist. You just believe that it's not so strong to prevent such an inspiring person from being elected, or you just don't believe it's that.
I truly don't believe the country as a whole is racist. I believe that I am, but that's a different story. but I really don't. I really don't. No. I think that we have a fucked up schizophrenic personality as a nation. And part
Which
of
is
that
why,
schizophrenic you know, includes a lot of misdirected hate and weird shit, but I don't believe at its core. I just don't. I don't think he would have gotten elected. And the other thing is, for me, it's more complicated than that. Like, I don't believe in that you can draw these straight lines between male and female and between gay and straight. I think it's much more complicated. And I think the same thing is with race. I don't think that Barack Obama is black. He just has he has dark skin. And according to most human perception, he is perceived as a Negro. But he's not. But he's ethnically, he's not black. I mean, and it just shows you how stupid the whole race thing is. But he looks black, but that could be just a genetic. I mean, if, you know, a different sperm had hit a different egg, then he would look white, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I think if it was like Jesse Jackson, then there would be a racism as a factor. But I think with this, there's a lot of stupidity and propaganda as a factor. And I don't know, maybe it is racism, but if he loses, it won't be because of racism. It'll be because people are fucking retarded.
I was watching John McCain today give his little speech where he says the quote, "We are all Georgians," about the whole invasion of Georgia. And it just fell so flat. You know, everyone's sitting around going, oh, you mean the state of Georgia?
They don't know what he's talking about.
right.
Georgia, who cares?
We are all Georgians. What the hell is that? I mean, these lines.
Well, I have to admit, I thought it was kind of funny when I saw the ambassador of Georgia saying something like, Georgians will never allow themselves to be annexed. And I'm like, really? Oh. Well, what was that, you know?
There's actually a reporter, I think he was working for the BBC, who stuck a microphone in the face of the president of Georgia as he was walking off some, like, victorious speech after the Russian army went home saying they were satisfied. And the reporter goes, everyone's celebrating, but you did kind of lose all this, you know. You were overpowered, and you just got lucky that they left.
Wait
and
he a second, got really they left? Mad. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, the Russian president announced that they're satisfied with whatever they meant to be doing there, so they're pulling out.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what he says.
But did they keep half the country or what? I mean, because
I'm not really sure about. Technically, not yet. Yeah. But that section of the country voted for independence anyway. So, this whole Georgia claim is a little odd as well. I mean, once a section of a country declares independence, I don't know. You may not like it, but.
Well, it's clearly about oil, obviously. I mean, it seems
there
like
is a pipeline.
Yeah, I think it's all
it's
about
oil, it's tried. It's something much larger. You know, the U.S., we all know that the U.S. military is an industry, of course. Mm-hmm. And so in order to keep it going, you have to be able to have conflicts that involve using missiles, using guns, because we have to produce more of all that. Russia has a whole just as large, or at least what used to be just as large, military going, and their stuff is getting old. And there are plenty of people, of manufacturers that want to be able to produce more stuff for the Russian military. And then the Russian military has the money to buy it. They just need to use all this crap. So in other ways, this is part of exercising their military-industrial complex. What I'm saying is they need conflicts to justify this big-ass military and all these weapons, and so that they can develop new ones, which is a moneymaker. So here they go. You know, they got this little adventure.
But do you think that happens in a conscious way? I mean, how does that happen? I mean, I'm sure – do you think, you know, Russian cabinets get – you know, the Russian cabinet gets together and says, well, this – See, I think all that happens, I think it happens sort of systemically under the guise of other nefarious reasons, and which I think are related to oil and territory. And Russia certainly has tons of natural resources. And I don't know. To me, it's like I think it's kind of a chess play. It's a chess play against the U.S. and with Iraq. It's like, okay, Georgia, Iran. I'm not sure what it is, but there's something there that relate the two. And I don't know what it is.
It's funny because, you know, they always say that the U.S. is the only superpower. But the truth is, it was said, at least in political theory in the 90s when I studied, and it's said in a lot of almanacs or whatever, crapopedia.
Douchey American sources say that.
Douchey American sources do say that. Mm-hmm. That it's the one superpower left because of its economic, military might. But of course, nobody could possibly stop Georgia right now. I mean, I'm sorry.
Russia.
Whoops. Complete opposite. Right. No one could possibly stop Russia. As a matter of fact, no one could stop China to a certain extent either. But never mind that.
Well, or in the case of Russia,
nothing. Like, Europe can't do anything. All of the natural gas in Europe comes from Russia.
Right.
If they get remotely angry at us, we will have a very cold winter, you know.
It's what Stacy said that happened a few years ago.
Right, exactly. So there's nothing to do against Russia. They pretty much do have their way in the world. Yeah. And they're going to get an even better position when they secure the Arctic, if they can do this thing they're doing in Georgia to get more access to this pipeline. And I mean, they're not just controlling a lot of oil and gas now. Mm-hmm. They're going to control even more in the future. So, you know, you think the United States has power? You're about to see power, you know. Okay, the Middle East has power because of oil, but this is more. This is much more.
I think the United States is a joke. I really do. I think, I mean, just to see just people are so dumb. I mean, they don't even see that they're already in the third world. I have them, you know, they don't, they think they have control over their thoughts, and their thoughts are controlled by television. I mean, it's just as true as Orwell would have predicted it. It's happening right now. I mean, people's thoughts are controlled. And I think that's why if we do, you know, there's no reason why McCain should be anywhere near Obama in the polls. I mean, McCain should have 0.5% from some schizophrenic, retarded old war veterans who should be dead by now. World War II. Yeah. You know, but instead he has like half the country saying they're going to vote for him. Give me a break. Yeah. That's fucking mind control. That old fucking raisin head. Ugh.
You know, ever since you went to your not everyday format, if we can call it a format match.
Yeah.
I've turned to in the search for, I don't know, stuff to listen to during the day. Besides the mountain of very intelligent podcasts that I have in front of me, I've been listening to Howard Stern again, which I haven't done in many, many years. And I was never a big fan. But the thing I find fascinating is people are calling in. Of course, that's, you know, the huge part of his program.
Yeah.
And they love let's put it this way, opposite. They hate Obama. They just don't want Obama. So McCain, they don't love him. They'll go with McCain. So whoever this public is, and I don't think they represent maybe like the majority of the U.S., but it tells me a lot about the sort of white, middle-aged male that, like, listens to Howard.
What does Stern say about it, though, himself?
Stern stays out of it because his problem is he supported Hillary. He was an avid Hillary supporter, and now he's kind of has to kind of eat his words a little bit.
Then, see, that's – I mean, Don't underestimate his control over the show. I mean, they screen those calls. And if there's a bunch of people calling in that say they support McCain, there's a reason for that. It's not just an accident. I mean, you know, there's a lot more people call in than are allowed in the air.
Yeah, and I see other shock jocks on BitTorrent, and I sometimes download them to see, you know, I want to sort of compare. Yeah. And same thing, people calling in, big McCain people, or at least just not Obama people, no Obama no matter what. And the reason, the number one reason they're pushing around, and I did notice this when I was in the U.S. recently, at least among people I kind of know, is that they're all afraid that Obama's going to raise their taxes.
You know what, though? I think with Stern, I mean, I've listened to him for a long time. I also enjoy listening to him, but he's a racist. He hates blacks. I mean, he really does. He talks about it all the time. He doesn't really hide it. You know, just because he has the pets, you know, and Uncle Tom working for him to on the laugh track, reading news that he totally has control, does not make him not a racist. But he talks about it all the time. He grew up on Roosevelt Island. He was beat up by black kids every day. You know, he constantly lets these crazy racist callers, you know, call in and, you know, use the N-word every 5 seconds. I mean, he does not like black people. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And now, and here I'm just contradicting myself, what I said about racism. And, you know, I think that if there's a racism, if there's racism going on that's coming out of the Howard Stern show, it's because of Howard Stern. I don't think it's necessarily because of the people calling in, though, you know, like brings in like, and, you know, his audience aren't exactly geniuses, you typically, no offense.
What it looks like is that the long ingrained fear of Democrats raise your taxes, Republicans get government out of your life. Yeah. That old knowledge or that old sort of urban legend is stronger than the last 8 years of George Bush. Like people somehow seem very able to brush that aside, but remember that McCain's a Republican of this, apparently this sort of Republican that so many people, you know, the Reagan type, which apparently a lot of people thought was this wonderful thing.
I like what McCafferty says. I played it at the beginning of my show the other day, like, whatever, you know, whatever. Have all the arguments you want about this. The bottom line is, if this country elects another Republican, given all this shit that's happened in the past 80 years, then we deserve whatever is going to happen as a result of it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think things have gone far enough. And I mean, I don't think enough people are, I don't know how, but more people need to experience a little, I don't know, depression.
Well, that'll happen. We'll have that chance. But see, what I'm afraid of, and I talked about this.
It's the wrong people.
Well, what I talked about this, we talked about this on the phone, that I really think that if it does get much worse than this, and if a McCain wins and we have the opportunity for the corporations to suck the country even drier and so on and so forth, and things get worse, then I think that's when you have the opportunity for, you know, some crazy, really right-wing Taliban-like regime to kick in and take over.
Let me tell you a story because it's related to, you know, the world economy and it's sort of a sign of the times. I'm at the airport today. Mm-hmm. I'm standing by the counter, the number one counter everybody goes to with problems with the big state airline. It's not state anymore. It's private. Mm-hmm. And there's a large group of Senegalese guys, and I can hear them talking, and I heard that their flight was going to Dakar, so I deduced that they're Senegalese. They're speaking in French. Sometimes when, depending on who asks them, they'll speak in English. And at some point, they're so angry that one of the guys just walks over to me, sees that I'm watching, and he starts telling me the story. You know, he seems to just want somebody to commiserate with. And he starts telling the story, and he says, you know, we've been here since yesterday. These guys, our flight was canceled. They don't tell us why, but even despite that, they are now offering us a flight to go to some other country, to Cape Verde, which is an island way in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what's wrong with, I mean, why is that a big problem? Because it's not, you know, it's near Senegal. And the guy said, no, you don't understand. And we know this. The flights from that island, they don't go every day. The way it works is there's a flight. When it's full, no matter how many days it takes, then it goes. So we're going to get there. God. And usually they take 4 days to fill these flights. Jeez. And I was like, wow, you know, if that isn't a sign, I don't know if they always did this, but that really sounds like a sign of the sort of world economic times. It's like, we're not going to fly because it costs a lot of money. And so until this plane is full, we're not going anywhere. You're going to have to wait. So these guys, they were so angry, and they really, I mean, from what I know of West Africa, people are very patient. They have to deal with a lot of slowness. So if you piss off West Africans, you really must be incompetent. Mm-hmm. And these guys, it was pretty interesting. Most people, you know, when they can't get their flight to where they wanted to go and they've been suffering, waiting for days, they're still kind of, you know, you're kind of this passive sort of Western, I don't know, you want to talk to a supervisor. Right. You're not really going to do anything. You're just going to be really angry and yell at other people. Anyway, so there was a lot of those people pouting. But these guys, there's about four or five of them. They stand in front of everybody. They kind of push their way, a little rude, of course. And they whenever they try, the flight attendant people try to take someone else, the next customer, you know, ignore them because they don't know what to do with them anymore. They get in the way and they started to tell everyone, sorry. They turn around and they put their arms out and they say, no one else is passing. This place is now closed until we get treated with respect.
Oh my
and they
God.
Actually pull down, there's this little like close the gates kind of thing. They pull down the gates.
Wait, there's a word there's a word for that, isn't there?
I don't know what that's called. It looked like a strike to me.
Yeah, but it's like some sort of a, there's a word for that.
I've never seen anything like that.
Consumers do something like that. Yeah, well, anyway.
Yeah, it's a revolt is what it is.
Yeah.
And the cops came and I was a little worried because, you know, people, it's still, you know, even here, and this place has a long history of being in Africa, and of African descent. And still, I noticed like, the airline company looked down on them, sort of.
Wait, we're getting Skypey. We're getting Skypey. What's going on? Are you downloading pornographies?
Yeah, I'm not downloading any pornographies, although this tweet dick is on. Let me turn this off. It's one of these Twitter...
well, that shouldn't take up that much.
No, but it does pull stuff in. Well, I'm in Portugal. That's the other problem.
Nothing works. Anyway.
Is it better now?
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, I've never seen anything like it. It was pretty interesting in terms of, you know, people actually getting up and revolting in the face of giant corporate, it's not our fault, you know.
So what happened? And,
well, the police came, but, you know, sort of these old man Portuguese police, and they actually sided with the guys, and they opened the gate, and they said, you can't just ignore these people as if they're not your customers, and you can't just give them some piece of shit flight and say, this is what you get. So the police argued for them for a while. And then they negotiated one representative, because they were like they're excellent at being very loud in a large group.
Yeah.
And it was scaring a lot of people. You know, a lot of people in the airport thought something huge was going on, like a fight.
Right.
But it was just enthusiastic West Africans. So they've got one representative to speak for them. And finally, it took a few hours. It took most of the day, actually, because I've been there all day. A negotiator came out from the airline, a supervisor, and she actually sat down with one of them. And they worked out some kind of deal. I saw some of them took what was offered. One guy was so frustrated, he left the airport. I think he went to go stay with friends for a day or two to wait for this to blow over. But it took most of the day. But it was only – I was there at 1 o'clock, and then only around 8 o'clock at night did a negotiator come out. And in the meantime, a lot of cops surrounded like the area, looking kind of passive, but you can tell they were hoping or wondering if, you know, something big was going to happen. And then eventually the gate reopened and my mom and was able to negotiate our own problem. But it took a really long time. And I thought it was amazing because, I don't know, customers usually, you know, we just get angry. We pout. We write complaint letters that get ignored. These guys took matters into their old hands, you know, and it was kind of inspiring.
Well, I've had, I woke up to a customer service nightmare continuation. I woke up and I got a text message from T-Mobile, my cellular carrier, saying, dear customer, we received a change of address for you, and we're just, you know, please call us if you did not actually make this change. Well, of course I didn't. And, you know, this is the ongoing problem that I've had with the post office, taking my mail, redirecting it to my sister's house. I went in, I tried to fix it. It didn't get fixed. I wrote these emails to the postmaster general and all these dumb cunts that, you know, basically told me to go fuck myself. Still didn't get mail today. Some of the mail ended up not even going to my sister's house, but going to their neighbor's house. It's so fucked up. So I'm not getting mail at all. You know, and then I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to go to that fucking post office again, because I will scream at those motherfuckers. I will scream at them and I will go to jail. So I'm like, so I get this text message. I call the T-Mobile and I was just... at my wit's end. It was first thing in the morning. I had just woke up, got this text message, and I said, oh, this means I have to go back to that fucking post office, doesn't it? And then she just started laughing. I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to swear, you know, because she's there. I mean, she was just this poor little T-Mobile person, and they don't really do anything bad to me, at least not yet. You know, and I just hate when the big monster attacks, you know, these big bureaucracies. But anyway, but a few minutes after that, I got an email from finally from the Postmaster General's office. So hopefully they'll do something. Well, let me see what it says. This is to acknowledge receipt to your email to the Postmaster General about your concerns over the forwarding of your mail. Well, at least they read it, or a machine did, because it knows it's about. We will be working with our local managers in our review of this issue, as they will have firsthand knowledge. Oh, sure they will. Sure they will. No, they won't be eating or anything. No, they won't just be eating. Please understand that we remain involved, but the managers with immediate authority over your local area will be able to move swiftly to review this matter and develop a response. For any future postal issues, please contact customer service nearest you. And they gave me the number. Well, why couldn't they put the number on the fucking website, you know? Okay. Sincerely, R. McCloskey, Post Office Headquarters. So hopefully they'll do something. I mean, at least they did read the email, I guess. But it's so frustrating. Like, I can't even get my mail, you know, and my attitude is always like, well, then I'm not going to pay my taxes since I'm not going to get the forms. And you know what? They can all get fucked. And maybe they won't be able to find me when they try to put me in jail because I won't have any mail.
Yeah, it's like anyone anywhere in the world, not just America, anywhere, who says like, oh, I got to have my gun because that's what keeps me safe and protects me and keeps the government from whatever doing this to me.
Sure.
It's like, you're nothing. Your gun is not going to protect you from all this bullshit.
It's like, that was 200.
Faceless corporations that do whatever they want to you, and there's not shit you're going to do about it. You and your gun are just going to sit home and be angry.
Right.
And you probably take it out on the wrong person anyway, if you ever did.
Yeah, mostly themselves, usually, or their kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's a gun going to do? You can shoot your phone. Wow. What is this douchebag of the week?
Oh, is that a new segment on your program?
It's something I just found in my newsfeed just now. This week is a young, but I think it's reasonably safe to go ahead and crown Citigroup VP Michael J. McCarthy as king douchebag this week for being a homophobic, misogynistic asshole. I can also gladly report that McCarthy got his walking... Oh, well, I'm not going to read that. I don't know what this is about. I just thought it was a cool title for a segment.
Douchebag of the week.
Yeah. So when you heard about this guy, Nonak, who is on Democracy Now!, that Mikey Pod knows, who was kicked out of China for videotaping a protest?
Oh, wait, no. No, I was thinking the athlete that got kicked out of China, but...
No. This is a guy. He's a video blogger. And his name is Nonak, and a bunch of people in the video blogging community know him. Mikey Pod's going to have an interview him on his show on Friday. And the guy was on Democracy Now! Today, but he filmed a protest with his cell phone, he filmed it live on Quick, which is one of those Nokia things, broadcasted to to all these people that saw this protest live. And then China, and it was, you know, it was basically a protest for the Tibetans. And the guy Nonak, the vlogger, went with the guy who's the head of the Free Tibet thing in New York. They both got kicked out, you know, physically. Just they pulled him out and threw him on a plane and made him go home with a bunch of other journalists who weren't doing the right thing. And what's really weird, and I can't have, you know, I got the printouts from Mikey Pod, is that all the Facebook entries that he made when he was in China got scrambled.
Okay.
So, you know, and who knows what that is, but it does bear the appearance of a censorship. I don't know. It's weird. But he was definitely kicked out. And
that part isn't so weird. That part is not so weird. It just confirms what we kind of know. I mean, I guess the Olympics was supposed to be a slightly more open time, but from what we know of how China works, this is perfectly normal.
The problem is really us, because, you know, we can't do anything about another country's government. What we can do is decide who we're going to do business with. We have chosen as a country not to do business with Cuba because we don't like their government. But we've decided that even though China has, you know, you can argue how much more oppressive or if it is, but it's at least as oppressive as Cuba's, the very least.
On a more mass scale, which is even worse.
I mean, but we've decided that we're going to do business with China. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though they do all these horrible, horrible things, and it goes on forever, and I don't even know why I discuss this shit half the time, because there's never resolution. I agree with Max that, you know, the only way to fuck... The reason everything's happening, the reason the American economy is falling apart is very simple. It's because of this stuff we do to people. And it's the only way to stop us is by stopping our economy.
Right.
You know, these protests get videotaped, and then what happens? You know, people watch somebody getting murdered on YouTube. And that's another thing this has been bothering me, that there's all these videos on YouTube of people getting killed in real life. But you can't play Wanda Wisdom sticking a vibrator up at Chochita, even though it's through pantyhose.
Yeah. It is odd when the few, especially in the beginning of the Olympics, the few, I thought I was not going to watch any, but now I find myself watching. Mm-hmm. But the few, CNN will report occasionally, because I have the CNN International, so okay, I turn it on. And you'll see a protest in Tiananmen Square, or mm-hmm. somewhere in a large square in Beijing mm-hmm. during the day. And at least the footage I've seen, it's always Westerners protesting. With like one token Tibetan maybe with them. And then all these angry Chinese people lately like yelling at them. And then of course the cops eventually take
them.
Well,
I think you're talking about the same protest that this guy videotaped. You probably watched the same videotape.
I've seen it a few times, and actually that bothers me. It bothers me in a lot of ways. I mean, on the one hand, look, I'm concerned about all parts of the world.
Yeah, but the Chinese government has hired, they've gotten these squads of people to do that. I mean, that's deliberate. It's not just like Chinese people are like, fuck this.
I think Chinese people, much like Americans, are very into what's going on. I mean, much like Americans during certain times in history, mm-hmm. are really into these games and don't want to fuck it up and think that somehow this is good for them, it's good for China, it's good for in all sorts of ways. So I really think that actually it's not even a squad of people. The overall sentiment is just shut up because these games are going to be good. And
even though a billion and a half Chinese like were displaced, were made, you know, were kicked out of their homes.
Absolutely. No, because it's all these sort of middle class Beijingers who are running around, or I don't know who they are, actually. I don't even want to say that they're middle class. But I think there is a sort of patriotic hooray for China sentiment that is very strong. It reminds me of the United States without the 9/11, but still with the sort of let's be united on this one. Put away your fucking demonstration. And I see that happening in China.
I think, again, that's mind control because the government is powerful. The media, they control everything so well. I mean, the reason they control, these governments control media is not because it's fun. It's because it works very effectively to control people. You know, did you see this documentary? It's called The City of God. It's actually in Portuguese.
I know about that. It was a documentary? Oh, okay. It won a lot of awards.
No. I'm sorry. It was not a documentary, but on the DVD, the movie is good, and it's not a documentary, but it's based on a true story. But on the DVD is a one-hour documentary that is real. And I ripped it from the DVD, so maybe I can put it up somewhere. But it's fucking amazing because they interview the head of the chief of police in Rio at the time, who was later made the state representative for the Rio region or however they do things there. And he was so matter of fact about it. He says, we oppress people. Do you really think justice is going to be that the police are going to treat people even handedly? He said, it doesn't work that way. The reason the police exist is to protect the status quo. And those are rich people. And we keep the poverty in the poor region. I mean, this guy said that. I mean, it was fascinating to hear it, but I mean, there's just, it's control, you know? And I don't know, but this thing with China, I can't even watch the Olympics myself. I can't. I feel like I'm contributing to it somehow. I just,
you're right.
You know, I mean, okay, the closest I'll get is like, I can see the still images of the gymnasts with the camel toe. I can see that there's enough podcasters that'll flicker that for research, sure. And, but I just, it just makes me so mad. And I don't even, you know, I think it should have been boycotted, but it's not so much that, it's not that I would even expect a boycott. It's just that it just makes me mad. It makes me mad because of all the ignorance and naivete surrounding, you know, the whole the whole situation and how we don't do business with China, how we do business with China so freely, and how the only real human rights issue that gets brought up, even though nothing happens about it, is Tibet. When you have this whole issue about Falun Gong and the organ theft, which I think is the most atrocious human rights violation I've ever even heard of.
Yeah.
You know, it's in clearly in the same ranks as Mengele, what Mengele did. I mean, killing people, taking their organs alive in order to give them to fat, rich Americans. I mean, and nobody's reporting this at all. Nobody. Because the evidence, while very compelling, is circumstantial, because there's just no other way to get, there's no other way to get it. I mean, they have witnesses. They have, I don't know. I mean, how, there's just no way to describe the number of organ transplants that go on. There's no way that they can account for that. And they've had big ambassadors from Canada and other countries investigate it, and they've all said the same thing. But it's like sometimes these huge issues are so hard to believe that people just don't want to hear about it.
Not in the same note, but related to China, you know my friend who does the TVB Gons, the Mitch who does the devices that turn off all TVs.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You told me he went and he inspected his little factory.
Yeah, inspected his factory. He went to Shanghai. I don't think I told this on your show. Yeah. And he found that his workers were actually, he wasn't sure what he was going to find, but he found that his workers were treated very well. And one of the reasons is because the boss is afraid that they're going to go elsewhere because there's all these other jobs in similar factories. So he was kind of impressed. He actually said they make a better living than Americans do.
Really?
Which sounds like the future.
Yeah.
But he said, yeah, in terms of quality of life and breaks and vacation stuff, he said he thinks they actually do better than Americans.
Yes, it's funny because whenever you talk about Chinese wages, they always just put it in dollars. Like they only make, you know, $2 a day. Oh, that's terrible. Well, they don't go to fucking Walmart. You know, they don't use dollars over there, so that doesn't fucking mean anything. What matters?
Most of them are still not paying car insurance.
Or health insurance.
I mean, right?
I assume they have national health care.
They do. Yeah. They do. Yeah.
That's fucking pathetic, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, so he was surprised. And as I was talking to him, he goes, actually, you can talk to the guy yourself if you want. He's right there. And he turns around and there's this Chinese guy working on a device. I didn't bother talking to him. He seemed quite amused. But, yeah.
Well, he should have done a spot inspection. What's that noise? Are you smoking?
No.
What is that? I heard.
Did
that.
I go?
It sounded like a no. It sounded like a lighter noise, like a click.
I don't know. You're clicking. That's your research. Downloading the pornography, probably.
I'm looking actually at Flickr pictures, but it's not pornographic.
Camel toe.
No, I'm looking at just my friend's Flickr pictures to see if I'm.
See what they're doing.
It's just a nervous habit that Vera hates.
Okay.
Did you see how thin Dawn got? By the way.
I saw a photo or two coming down through the...
She looks amazing. I saw this picture of her and I was like, my God, who is that? Because I thought it was the moon girl. And then I saw it was her. I mean, she really looks stunning. It's amazing. And I didn't...
Now you're inspiring me to go look more.
Well, you listen to their show regularly, don't you?
I've stopped, to be honest. I don't remember why, but I've stopped. I'll pick up again eventually.
Yeah, because I stopped too, but because I stopped...
everything.
A lot of things. Yeah. But... I mean, she looks amazing. If you go, you have Drew's. It's just Drew Domkus is his Flickr.
Yeah, yeah. He's my friend.
Let me send you a link right now. This one.
Oh, here we are.
Here, where are you? Here, it's amazing. Here, look at this picture. I mean, and you know, I haven't been listening, and I'm like, my God, she looks amazing, and I haven't heard her do any Wand of Wisdom. You know, all this. You see it?
Her. Whoa.
I know. Yeah. It doesn't. I thought it was somebody else. I mean, she has these beautiful almond eyes. Now she looks amazing. And I mean, a year ago I saw her and she was, you know, didn't look like this.
Huh.
So.
Anyway. I've never seen any really old photos of them either. When they first met and stuff, what they look like.
I haven't either. Anyway, I thought that was cool. But we haven't been in touch lately. I don't know.
Whoa. Now I'm clicking around. What? Oh my goodness!
Now you're clicking.
Yeah. I am. I'm looking. Well, now you've got me going down this road.
Yeah.
And I should be going to sleep.
Because of a cigarette lighter sound. Yeah. Yes. Well, anyway, this was a completely pointless discussion, but I'm glad maybe people always find that they like the shows with it, that nothing seems to be accomplished. But
true.
I really even see the point of why. I don't even know why we discuss this. I really don't. It's like I have this friend of mine, and he's like, okay, he's in his late 50s. And we were sitting at dinner, him and his partner are the same age. And he's like, we're talking about the state of the world. It's the same kind of conversation. One of them works for the state's attorney or something. And he's like, they're both like severely liberal and they're so cynical. And they're just like, and one of them said to me, my God, I'm so glad I'm old. I wish I could just die now because it's going to get so much worse. I feel so sorry for these young people today. He's like, I'm just glad I'm old and I wish I was older. I wish I was 80. I'm like, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. He said, it sucks. I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, it requires almost a supernatural level of hope to not feel that way, in my opinion. I mean, that's why I have to believe, but it's almost idiotic at the same time to believe that things are going to get better, you know, but whatever. But well, then I look at history and you see, you know, we've always had these cataclysmic events, you know, like the world has always been ending, always it's been ending. And it doesn't end, you know. When I was much younger, everybody was just ready, and certainly in the '50s, everybody was expecting to die any minute from the fucking nuclear bombs. I mean, it was a certainty; it was an absolute certainty that our lives would end, and I mean that literally, that our lives would all end very soon in a nuclear holocaust. It wasn't an if; it was a when. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just wonder. Well, maybe, you know. It's just always like that. Maybe it just always has to be the end of the world. And it was, and there was just as convincing thoughts in people's heads as there are now, and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe global warming isn't real. Maybe we should just shop more.
Shopping anyway.
All right. Well, here, I'm going to play a Helen Gurley Brown clip because she's so smart. And then...
Or maybe, all right.
Maybe I played it at the beginning. I don't know. I'm post-producing. But thanks for being on the show. I know it's very late for you. And
that's all right. We don't do it often enough, so it's worth me staying up late.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. And thanks to everybody who actually enjoyed listening to this one. I think only you.
Well, they'll, I'm sure, let me know. I'm sure us know. I'm sure.
I never read the comments. I'll read the comments for this one.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Okay, talk to you later.
Bye, Madge.
Bye. All right, so we're done. And I'm not going to play Helen Gurley Brown because I probably played her at the beginning, I guess. So maybe I'll play like a closing theme. This is the Jason Fladowitz version of the Yeast Radio theme song. Bye. Intergalactic planetary. Hello, sorry about that. I just realized that's 3 minutes. I don't want to put a 3 minute thing on right now. So I'll just end with the normal theme song. Sorry, this is what happens when I have food allergies with a vagina. Remind me to talk about food allergies. I talked with a restaurant manager about food allergies in the city. We'll talk about that today. I also want to talk about... No, I don't.
Sudden fright, tight undergarments, prolonged bicycle or horseback riding can cause an erection. Some of these normal, unexpected erections can be very embarrassing. Please just remember they're normal and don't let them upset you. She is not sick. She is perfectly normal.